Hey, folks, welcome back to the worldwide broadcast, the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys have a terrific day today. It's got another Fit Food Shake made, and I didn't make a mess this time.
You know, I'm so proud of you, Austin. That's great.
At almost 40 years old, I've now figured out how to make shakers, make protein shakes without making a mess all over the table. You guys proud of me now? Hope you guys have been enjoying yourselves. The shows this week, the product of the week, the Natokinese, will be changing over later on this afternoon. So if you want to grab some last second, the cardiovascular support supplement, incredibly good at maintaining overall blood flow, is going to be outvoted by the Quercetin Plus. I did not expect that one to win, actually. I figured the resveratrol would, but I guess people want to try the Quercetin.
One of the strongest antioxidants in the world.
Oh, it is. That product's never been on sale for product of the week.
That's probably why it's on.
So we'll do a big show on it tomorrow. I'll cover a bunch of stuff that we have on, a bunch of articles we have on, and go into detail on why we actually carry that product and what it does for your body and why it's so important and why it's also in the HGH stimulator.
I stack it with, vitamin C powder. Yeah.
We'll go into detail on it tomorrow. Lots of stuff getting covered today. Also, be sure to check out the latest podcast on thebrowershow.com. Yesterday's show, you can click right here. It's on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Gab, Spotify, Rumble, and, of course, right on our website, ready for you with zero commercials, ads, or anything to interfere with your one-hour watching ability of the Ted and Austin Brower Show. Be sure to get updates. Name, email, Brower Show, Health Masters, subscribe. It'll send it right to your inbox every single day. You don't have to do a single thing. And then when you're done doing that, click the shop supplements button right over here, the top right one, and it goes boom, right to the Health Masters page. I can't make it any easier than that, guys. I have done my best, and I know you guys are giving me feedback.
By the way, everybody's loving the new website finally.
Well, it's flowing now.
Yeah.
It's flowing finally. We had some outliners.
Well, some people just say, I like the old website. I'm like, well, I like the old website too, but the new one is so much easier.
It's so much more effective. And then like on this, like you can leave reviews. There's no cap on how many reviews you can make. I still need somebody to leave a review on the CoQ.
One review.
We're live. I got a review. What's the review? I have not seen this. I checked it last night. I didn't have a review. Healthy Heart. See my verified buyer, Shane. Said, best CoQ10 I have found. My wife has had heart racing episodes for years and has tried all kinds of CoQ10 that doesn't help. Ever since taking this CoQ10, her episodes are also non-existent.
Almost non-existent.
I also take this product and it helps keep my blood pressure down. Now, I've noticed that. It helps me with
We're
a lot.
We're making no claims here.
No, this is what Shane said. But I got a first review of my CoQ10. Yes.
Thank you, Shane.
I appreciate that. I was waiting for somebody. That's one of my favorite products for overall heart health. And
it's interesting to me. You know, communism is a big deal. And, you know, back in the 20s, you know, when the Russian Revolution was occurring with Stalin and Lenin and the whole gang, and they were running around killing 50 million people, you know, they decided to take over the world with communism. Now, this is primarily to live through the rebellion in Russia and killing Tsar Nicholas. But it took 10, 15 years, and it moved into Europe. And they tried to get into England. They tried to get into Germany. They tried everything. And then what happened is after they tried to get into Germany, the Germans said, forget it, man. When I work, I want to get paid. Yeah. If you don't work, you don't eat. So that's how that works. And so they actually set up a group think tank in Germany called the Frankfurt School. It was at Goethe University, and it came out of Moscow. And they were analyzing and trying to develop why in the world that that the Germans would not accept communism, why they wouldn't take it, refuse to. And then Hitler came into power in 1933, and he really hated communists. If you read the book Mein Kampf, which I'm not recommending because it's got some crazy stuff in it.
It's a long book, too.
It's hard to read, too. It's very poorly written. Sorry there, Adolf. It was poorly written.
Just apologize to Hitler.
Well, I mean, the book's terrible.
It's long, too. It's ridiculous.
But it goes, it's almost all about communism and the fight against the Bolsheviks and stuff.
No, it really is. It gets a stigma as everybody thinks it's like this neo-Nazi white supremacy book.
No.
I mean,
it's basically a political book.
Yeah.
And but it is my struggle, Mein Kampf. And so I've never been able to get through it. I've tried to read it a couple times. I'm like, enough. But the communism is a big deal. And so when the Frankfurt School got thrown out of, you know, Goethe University, they fled to Switzerland in 1933 when Hitler took power. And then they went over to Columbia University. And then they started basically cultural Marxism in the United States. Now, the reason I said all of that was this. It wasn't to apologize to Hitler. We can't believe I did that. American communism has come home to roost is an article by Paul Craig Roberts, and it says New York is not only the only city in the United States that has a communist mayor. Seattle also has one. There's little doubt there are many others. He says, I tend to regard all Democrats as communists. By the way, he's right about that, because all of them believe, and that's a pretty hard one to say. I would say because most of them believe that justice consists of burdening working people with the food, housing, and medical needs of the non-working. I'm referring to the welfare programs such as SNAP, subsidized rent control housing, and medical care provided by taxes on unemployed people's earnings. I'm not speaking of Social Security and Medicare. Recipients of these benefits pay substantial taxes for all of their working life to be eligible for Medicare and a small pension on their retirement. Social Security and Medicare are not welfare programs. They are insurance programs run by the government and financed over the working life of the beneficiaries. When I was in the congressional staff, Senator Russell Long, chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, told me that Congress had promised the American people that Social Security benefits would never be taxed. That's a lie, by the way. They tax your Social Security. When the Reagan tax rates reductions passed, Stockman and Alan Greenspan, in their hysteria, preached that America would be destroyed by the Reagan deficits unless Social Security benefits were taxed. Yeah, I think I make $2,000 a month in Social Security, I think $2,200, and then I get taxed on that.
Taxes on taxes on taxes.
You know, so,
there's a certain point in time where the United States Americans, well, Americans back then, decided they were no longer going to deal with taxes.
I was no longer in the Treasury to stop the insanity, and no one else thought it worthwhile to do so. Consequently, beginning in 1984, 50% of American Social Security payments were taxed if the retirement income exceeded certain thresholds. If memory serves, the threshold was $25,000. Later, the taxation benefits were increased to 80% of the Social Security check was subject to taxation at your tax rate. I've always wondered why David Stockman and Alan Greenspan thought that people who had paid tax all of their lives for the Social Security retirement programs should be taxed on the benefits, while those who failed to provide for themselves should be supported by taxes on the retired incomes of the working class. Stockman and Greenspan demonstrated that some Republicans are as communistic as Democrats. Americans, especially conservative ones, have been fighting communism all of their lives and have continued to fight with non-communist Russia. All the while, insouciant conservatives sat on their butts while communism was constructed in the United States. And now, the reason I covered this morning is this is a very interesting article, and it goes into detail as far as, you know, why in the world we have a person who's basically up in D.C. or up in New York City now, who basically is saying that she is going to, you know, she's going to run for mayor up there, a mayoral candidate, and that she is saying that all white working men and women are bad if they have a house, if they own a home. And you think, well, how in the world? Well, she's a hardcore communist. And that's what she says. New York City mayoral candidate who says whites owning homes is racist sobs when asked about her mother's $1.4 million Craftsman home. So her mother is living in a mansion, and she basically, you know, is sobbing because about her mom. And then when you talk to her, she's unbelievable. Man, that woman is ugly. I'm sorry, but she's just ugly. New York City mayoral candidate, Sia Weaver.
What's her name? Sia Weaver? How do you spell that?
Oh, don't put her face up on the screen.
I don't know who she is. I got to look it up. Sia Weaver?
C-E-A-W-E-A-V-E-R, who says whites owning houses is racist, bursts into tears when asked about her mother's $1.4 million home. A woke aide in New York City's new socialist mayor burst out crying when confronted over her past anti-white tweets. Sia Weaver, 37, was overcome with emotion when confronted outside her apartment in Brooklyn on Wednesday morning. She began running hysterically down the street after seeing a Daily Mail reporter outside of her home, then said no through tears when asked if she wanted to comment on her professor mother's ownership of a home in Nashville. Weaver appeared to be walking towards a nearby 5 subway station, then she just turned and ran back inside of her home. She was subsequently seen peering out of the window. Okay, now that's enough Daily Mail. You can't be saying she's peering out of her own window. I mean, she's looking out of her window. I'll stick up for her on that one. Weaver, who has been appointed to run the mayor's office to protect tenants, previously tweeted that homeownership is a weapon of white supremacy. And remember, she's white. And homeownership is racist. And social media posts that urge people to impoverish the white middle class.
And another, she's as white as it gets.
Oh, God.
Where is she coming up with this rhetoric?
The self-loathing. Twitter missive from 2018, she wrote, there's no such thing as good Gen Trifer. Only people who have actively working on projects to dismantle white supremacy and capitalism and people who aren't.
I got it.
What is New York? New York.
Yeah, you guys got it.
Okay, I'm going to show you a picture of her. All right, you want to see ugly. There's ugly. And you think, well, I can't believe you're saying she's ugly. Well, whatever. You think she's good looking, have at it. But the point is that she's you know what's interesting to me? I saw this meme the other day, and this woman is crying, and she's absolutely hysterical. And she says, we used to tell men to go blankety-blank themselves if they ask us out. Now she goes, now nobody asks us out anymore. Where did all the men go? Where did all the gentlemen go? And the truth is this. If the women keep beating the men down like they are right now in the United States and globally, pretty soon there won't be any real men left because they've been beaten down too much.
Well, I've found there is still a lot of real men left that I meet as far as buddies and friends.
Not percentage-wise.
Nobody cares anymore. A lot of guys are going out of country to date now. That's happened significantly. I've heard a lot of friends I know in different places across the country.
The problem is when you I need to do a dating show.
No, then, not on this one. You can sit.
Not on this one, but
this is Health Masters, not Dating Masters.
Dating Masters.
We already talked about this. I might already own the link to it for you.
Oh, you already got it?
It's good now. We can put it on the VIP segment. Everybody can listen to you if they want to on that. Here at Health Masters, we provide the highest quality supplements and nutrients.
But, it's like we saw a picture this morning of Sydney, Pamela Anderson, looking as ugly as she possibly can. And, she somehow has decided, now that she's almost 60 years old, that she can look as bad as she wants to look, and everybody's supposed to say how great she looks. Now, ladies, don't send me any letters on this. I don't want to hear it, all right? I do my best. I actually comb my hair in the morning. I wash my face.
I'm so glad you comb your hair for
me. I brush my teeth. I try to look presentable for this podcast. I even bought some new shirts so I don't have wrinkled collars.
Got your teeth cleaned the other day.
I got my teeth cleaned yesterday. And so, I'm doing everything I possibly can. It's like I heard an old preacher say one time, even an old barn looks good with a new coat of paint. Now,
get some sunshine, comb your hair.
I mean, but if you want to make a statement, I don't understand why you were on Playboy magazine 25 times on covers or whatever it is with Pamela Anderson. And I don't understand any of this stuff. I know she's trying to prove a point that she can look any way she wants to look. People are supposed to accept her for who she is. Well, the only reason they do that and put you on Daily Mail looking like you do, Pamela Anderson, is because of what you once looked like and how you used to take care of yourself. And I guess they're trying to see your fall from grace or how you look. I don't know. But I don't understand any of this stuff. But again, it goes back to that mindset. I can look as bad as I want to look, and nobody's going to say anything, and everybody's going to accept me. And that's okay. I got it. I know I'm getting letters on this. I got it, okay? But here's the thing. Just all we can do is work with what we've got. But we can try to do the best we can with what we've got. We can try to look presentable to the best we can. If I came out here and my hair's all sticking up every direction and I'm sitting here and I'm hanging down here looking like in the Hunchback of Notre Dame, trying to make myself look bad, you'd be like, well, Ted, why are you doing that?
Well, no, the best part is, and you try to make yourself look bad, and then you get unbelievably mad when anybody says, Ted, are you okay? You look like you got run over by a train last night. What? I look great. Why you not affirm me? Anyways, I got some relevant news here. This is something that's ironic because we called this out months ago, and sure enough, Pam Bondi once again caught in another BS lie. She quietly drops the false claim from Trump that Nicolas Maduro was leading the giant drug cartel. Yeah.
Isn't that why we arrested him?
This is the entire... He was head of the Cartel de Sols, running enormous amounts of fentanyl in the United States. He was the lead cartel of it. And that's what they told us 6 months ago. That's when we started bombing all these drug boats, allegedly.
Oh, and they're also coming out saying that they're doing this to stabilize the petrodollar. We reported
that out
last... Yeah.
In the indictment, prosecutors referred to Maduro as head of the patronage system called the Cartel de Solas, which they said profited off cocaine sales in the United States. Wait a minute. So it's not fentanyl anymore. Now it's coke. Wait a minute. We issued a memorandum that fentanyl was a weapons of mass destruction 3 months ago via Trump. That's the whole reason we said we had the ability to start shutting down drug boats and launching rockets on them, and they had the ability to go into Venezuela because of fentanyl and weapons of mass destruction. Now it's not fentanyl anymore. Now it's blow. And, of course, now Maduro was not the head of the drug cartel. There's nothing linking to him that whatsoever. They're now saying that essentially everything we said about it doesn't make any sense. And officials, they said it's basically the officials cannot confirm any of this in court now.
Well, they can't confirm it in court because they're not going to put him in prison. He's going to be extradited. It'll be another. Remember, he has billions of dollars, in my opinion, in offshore accounts
or
already.
Or gold.
Oh, they're talking about the gold he had in London, too.
See, this is my opinion. This is complete speculation. I personally think he traded this whole thing up for a big chunk of gold and a whole chunk of don't bother me anymore. I'm going to my own private island somewhere in the entire world. You can have the gold. You can have the country. Pull me out. Get me out. They're never going to put him in a maximum security prison, in my opinion, for drug running.
He's going to probably be hanging out with Jeffrey Epstein.
Ooh.
On the same island.
Did you say that?
Here's the article. Oil, gold, and the end of the petrodollar, the real Venezuela story. The United States did not just topple a dictator. It may have triggered the next chapter in the rejection of the dollar, which, to me, that's the opposite of what just happened. While headlines focus on drugs and humanitarian crisis, the real story lies beneath the surface. Heavy crude, gold, and rare earth elements. Venezuela is more than a failed state. It is a resource hub at the center of a monetary realignment already in motion. We talked about what they're going to do with the petrodollar. Venezuela had moved outside of the dollar. We covered all this on Monday, selling oil to China, partnering on infrastructure through the Belt and Road Initiative, joining a rising group of nations, building a gold-based system to sidestep Western financial dominance. Then suddenly, hours after Maduro meets with Chinese officials, he's taken into custody. A new power structure just declared. Some of Venezuela's gold is now frozen in the Bank of England.
There you go. Okay?
Billions of dollars worth of gold. The rest lies in the ground, or at least it did. If you do not hold it, you do not own it. Venezuela learned that the hard way. You put it in England, you don't get it back. This intervention is not a return to order. It's a scramble to delay collapse. Remember what we just said the other day? We're scrambling to delay the collapse of the petrodollar.
That's exactly what we're doing.
It says, since this freezing of the Russian reserves in 2022, the world has been put on notice. The dollar is not neutral. It is a weapon, and it can be weaponized, and it can be replaced. That this move buys the United States more time as far as the petrodollar, but it also sends a message to every other country considering gold settlement or dollar alternatives. The system is fragile, so be careful, because it now requires force to sustain it. And this is a message the world will not forget. So exactly what we told you on Monday is exactly what everybody's saying now.
Here's why I'm telling you right now. They're never going to stick anything. They said that he was arraigned in New York City court on Monday following his capture removal. Listen to this. You guys are going to love this. Everybody that knows anything about Second Amendment gun laws in the United States, you're going to laugh at this one. Maduro was charged with four counts. Narco-terrorism conspiracy, cocaine importation conspiracy, possession of machine guns and destructive devices.
Wait a minute. It's his country.
He's the president of Venezuela. Secondly, ATF has no jurisdiction in Venezuela. There are no gun laws that he broke in the United States because he doesn't live in the United States. This right here is such theater. When I saw this morning, I thought, you can't arrest and indict somebody on possession of machine guns in another country that they're president of. ATF doesn't have any authority or jurisdiction in Venezuela.
We got to go back to Abraham Lincoln. Let's start. You're saying, well, how is he going to segue this? You know what I'm going to do.
Yep.
Emancipation Proclamation.
There you go.
All right. Abraham Lincoln, the South had already succeeded. They were a separate nation. They were the Confederacy. And they had slaves. And Lincoln issues the Emancipation Proclamation to the South. He wasn't even president of the South anymore to free the slaves in the South. Now, remember, he didn't free the slaves in the North. So, before you adjust your halo about Abraham Lincoln, he didn't free the slaves in the North.
Nope.
He freed the slaves in the South when he wasn't even in jurisdiction over the South anymore, making it illegal to hold slaves in the South. Just like Maduro, we're going to charge you with weapons, having a machine gun in your personal residence in another country that you're president of. What the crap is that, man?
When I saw that this morning, I was like, so what they're doing is they're trumping up. Trumping up the charges on him to make this look really, really wild. They're going to have a big theater show. This will never stick in any type of court of law.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it's like going over there. It'd be like arresting, Macron in France. You've done something we don't like, Macron. You've married a man. Oh, by the way, your possession of machine guns in France. Okay? He's the president of France.
This is like you go to Europe and you're in Europe and you're over there for a couple of years and you have a kid and you end up spanking that child while you're in Europe.
Yeah.
And then you come back to the United States and the Department of Family Services say you spanked your child while you were in Europe. It's outside of the boundaries and the jurisdiction of the United States. Why do you think you can come in and try to regulate it now?
Well, and that's the point of what they're doing here. This is all about trying to make a really big theater headline show, because the average American's going to go, oh my gosh, possession of machine guns. Oh, why would he have those? Dude, Trump's got 50 to 60 dudes around him every day with machine guns because he's the president of the United States. He's got full-up armored Tahoes in front and rear of his convoy that have miniguns in them.
So, but here's the deal. I'm going to go to sleep. But when you go to sleep tonight, you remember, leave your door unlocked, because we're going to come in with a raid and make sure you have your suitcases packed. And make sure that those guys, those 50 to 60 guys that are standing by your door with machine guns, make sure they're not there.
Yeah.
And then that way we can just kind of waltz in to waltz out. In fact, why don't we do it this way? Why don't we just use a body double that we arrest with a video? And why don't we just have you fly to the United States in your private jet today? And tomorrow we'll do the staged reenactment of what happened. So you say, well, could that have happened? I don't know. But all I know is this. What a mess that we're dealing with this. Now, Stephen Miller, okay, he's one of Trump's top guys, is one of President's aides, top aides, who serves as the deputy chief of staff for policy, just poured more fuel in the fire in terms of long-going spat with Denmark. There's no spat with Denmark. Denmark hadn't done anything. He said in fresh remarks that there won't be any military intervention to take the Arctic territory, and simply nobody's going to fight the United States militarily over the future of Greenland. Wait a minute. He's getting serious. More importantly, he spelled out the U.S. administration's view that Denmark fundamentally does not have a right to the resource of the rich Arctic territory. He was asked by reporters on whether Trump might invade Greenland next after the weekend shocked Venezuela. What do you mean military action against Greenland? Nobody. Greenland has a population of 30,000 people, he began in his response.
No, that's it. I thought it was higher than that. 30,000.
The real response, what does Denmark have a right to assert over Greenland? Okay, and he added, the U.S. is the power of NATO. And he goes, I'm going to read this. But then Paul Craig Robertson, one of the best articles he's ever written here, and he goes, here's the question. What became of America's peace president? Okay, listen to this. Stephen Miller, who we just quoted, and I'm reading you directly from Paul Craig Roberts' report now. He's a brilliant man. Don't yell at me. Don't scream at me. Don't call me any kind of name you want to call me. I'm reading what he says. Stephen Miller, President Trump's Jewish, this is Paul Craig Roberts, deputy chief and staff and architect of Trump's agenda, is the administration's voice on American foreign policy. The Jewish voice that speaks for America has announced that it is the formal position of the United States government that Greenland belongs to the United States, and that no country can prevent Washington from annexing the Danish territory. Miller's Jewish wife posted online a map of Greenland draped in an American flag. Trump agreed, saying Washington absolutely needs Greenland. Asked to confirm Washington's intentions, Miller said that he had been the formal position since the beginning of the Trump administration that obviously Greenland should be part of the United States, notwithstanding the fact that Greenland has long been part of Denmark. Miller questioned Denmark's claim to Greenland, saying that nobody's going to fight the U.S. military over the future of Greenland. Now, so in other words, just as Israel can seize Palestine, Washington can seize Greenland, Venezuela, Mexico, Cuba, Iran, and any other country it wishes. Wow.
Son of president. Yeah. Here's the funny part. This is what I have to laugh. If you guys haven't actually ever looked at photos or a map, just I'm going to do you guys a justice on this one. Greenland is an ice country.
Oh, yeah.
It's not freezing cold all the time. It's not got a formidable military. There's no question about whether or not we're going to take it over. It's super, super high as far as in minerals. It's unbelievably loaded up with all types as far as Arctic territory, mineral-rich area up there.
And the fishing there's got to be pretty great.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah, fish for
a lot of natural resources.
Wild caught, and I'm unbelievably clean.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. I mean, this. There's no. It's if the United States wants to use it as far
that
as
that little town's toward, about the extent of Greenland. I mean, it's about it. There's not much there.
They have no military.
You know, why don't we do this?
Why
don't we go to Denmark and say, hey, look, we want to buy Greenland.
Let's negotiate. You guys want some gold? You want some silver? Silver's high today.
And then Paul says this. He goes, the lawlessness of the Israeli-dominated Trump regime could result in the isolation of the United States and the realignment of Western Europe with Russia. Whoa. Stealing territory from Denmark is inconsistent with NATO treaty that commits the United States to the defense of Denmark. The blatant and unapologetic announcement Washington intends to annex Greenland should make it clear to the Kremlin that there is no possibility of arriving at a peaceful settlement with Washington. If the Kremlin still believes otherwise, the Kremlin has transformed itself into an insane asylum. What could terminate the Ukrainian conflict is Europe's realization that NATO members themselves are to be looted by the Trump regime.
Looted.
Europeans will have to question why they are fighting America's war with Russia and seek instead a security agreement with Russia in order to protect themselves from being looted by Trump. It is extraordinary that in less than the first week of the new year, Trump has put on notice Venezuela, Colombia, Cuba, Mexico, Iran, and Denmark, while taking no meaningful steps to end Washington's conflict with Russia in Ukraine. As if this aggressive agenda is not enough, Trump's regime is provoking China with the sale of hundreds of missiles to Taiwan that can be used to attack Chinese cities. Clearly, Donald Trump has emerged as anything but the peace president. That's Paul Craig Roberts' article. And, you know, the thing about it is that I like Paul. He's actually got a pretty good head on his shoulder. But here's the one thing we differ on this. Putin's neck deep in the rest of this stuff for the rest of the world. There are entities that are controlling the planet that basically I think that Putin is succumbing to also. Now, he'll talk about the Russian Orthodox Church, and he talks a lot about that. And he'll come out and say certain things about the, you know, Satan and all the rest of this stuff. And I really like it when he does all that stuff. But the truth is, there's something else. And, you know, in the MBA program, they teach you how to set up what's called a subordinate goal, insubordinate goal, and a primary goal and all the rest. And there's a primary goal here of a one-world government under Lucifer that's being enacted by everybody, including Putin, whether you want to believe that or not. Because Putin's financial system is based on the Rothschild money. Again, when the Russian Tsar fell, they put a Rothschild-controlled banking cartel into Russia. All of this stuff is the same group of people controlling both sides of the narrative. Putin has a massive nuclear arsenal. Massive. Now, his navy and all the rest, nothing like our navy. But the reality is he doesn't have to put up with a lot of this nonsense, nor does he have to put up with a three-year conflict with Ukraine, Austin. Putin could have walked into Ukraine in his 90 days and taken the country. He did not do it. He's got an extended conflict because, all the defense contractors have deemed it so to get rid of their old inventory, and now they want to have new inventory, and all of this stuff is being orchestrated by the same people. There's no way that Putin would put up with Zelensky in a real world war scenario.
No, never.
There's
never.
No way. So Putin's in this thing neck deep. Remember, Putin's a billionaire. Billionaire. It's like Trump's a billionaire. And you don't go to that billionaire boys club unless somebody gives you the nod.
That's
period.
Exactly right.
You know, and don't get me wrong, I like Putin. I do. You know, as far as some of the things that he says, some of the things that he does, but this whole thing with Ukraine has really showed us what Putin has done. I mean, we just went in, there was an oil tanker going into Europe, Austin.
Yep.
It was flying Russian flags. We just seized it.
Yeah.
Because they said it was linked to Venezuela. We decided
apparently
to take it.
Apparently we're just seizing everything that linked to Venezuela.
Right. Well, no. It says U.S. forces dramatically seize a Russian-flagged oil tanker in the Atlantic. That last time I heard about that. I thought that was piracy. An oil tanker linked to both. Just thought I'd mention it.
I mean, it was frowned upon.
You know, both Russia and Venezuela have been seized by U.S. forces in the Atlantic. The U.S. European Command headquartered in Germany confirmed today the seizure of the Mariner for violations of U.S. sanctions. It said in a statement on X, the vessel was seized in the North Atlantic, pursuant to a warrant issued by a U.S. federal court after being tracked. Okay, wait a minute. You know, a federal court gives a warrant to seize a tanker in Europe. Where's their jurisdiction for that, Austin?
Yeah. I thought the same thing. I saw the article this morning.
This is as difficult to believe it as is to believe that Pamela Anderson looks good without makeup.
Well, no. this is an international water, too. This is out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. I mean, unbelievable. You know, I don't even know what to say. Ship tracking from the marine traffic show the tanker nearing Iceland's exclusive economic zone today. It holds such importance to the Kremlin that it deployed a submarine and other vessels to escort across the Atlantic. But they ignored all that. The ship began its journey in Iran and was bound for Venezuela to pick up oil, part of the so-called shadow fleet that moves oil to Russia from Russia, Iran, and Venezuela, despite mounting U.S. allied pressure. Again, you don't use the petrodollar.
Yeah.
We're going to take your stuff.
That's what it's all about with Venezuela.
Yeah.
That's why I called it last week, is that the entire concept of this was all about getting control and restabilizing the dollar, which we did. Also, too, in other news, I talked about this yesterday on the show, and it's going into more detail now. The CDC has stopped broadly recommending 6 of the major vaccines for children on the children's shot schedule. This is a big deal. Excuse me while I finish my shake. Got hungry. I missed my
You could have waited until I was talking.
Man, I timed that one poorly. Please forgive me for offending you in any way. This one's a big deal. A lot more need to come off this recommended shot schedule, in my opinion. But the fact we're actually making leadway on a goalpost, so to speak, we're moving the ball down the field, unlike what we've done for the last 20 years, where we keep adding. This has changed a lot. Center for Disease Control has cut the number of vaccines it recommends for all children following a review of the vaccination practices and in other countries and the evidence on the benefits and risk of shots. So if you guys want to see a graph, I'm going to make it real clean and simple for y'all. Here you guys go. Give me camera 4. Childhood immunization schedule comparison. This is the normal platform right here to the left on previous updated. So the RSV shot is pretty much dropped, risk-based. And the risk-based, the hepatitis B shot is basically getting dropped. Hepatitis A is getting dropped. Meningococcal is getting dropped. Rotavirus is getting dropped. Influenza is getting dropped. And COVID-19 is still doctor advised, whatever that's supposed to mean. If you have a doctor that advises your child to get the COVID shot,
change doctors.
Find another doctor. I'm being serious about that. I don't care how good you think he is. That's beyond.
Remember that idiot doctor in Lakeland who ran around with, like, she had gloves on.
She double gloved, double mask, and a face shield. Don't get near me.
And she was wearing a hazmat suit.
And she got all of her COVID shots. Gosh, she was stupid. Just embarrassing to talk to. She graduated medical school.
She graduated medical school out of another country. The thing about all of this stuff is, I'm going to say this to you. Just because they've got an MD behind their name doesn't mean they're bright.
That's exactly right.
Doesn't mean they can think their way out of a wet paper bag with razor blades.
Yeah, there's some incredibly smart doctors that I know.
Yeah, me too.
Brilliant. There's some also unbelievably dumb ones when it comes to common sense.
I've got a friend of mine who's a cardiologist down in Sarasota, one of the most brilliant people I've ever known. He also flies jets and basically, he's unbelievable. He's a brilliant man. He's the guy that I would go and get advice from a medical standpoint. Yeah. But, you know, you get some of these other people, it's unbelievable how stupid they are. No, it's just mind-boggling.
Lana was having, she was having a bunch of
morning sickness
with Kendall. And
tried to put her on Prozac.
It wasn't Prozac. It was a different off-brand, but it was SSRI. Yeah. SSRI, yes. Antidepressant. It'll help out with the morning sickness. And she brought the paperback up. I said, do you know what this is, Lana? It's a black box SSRI antidepressant. It's linked to all types of problems with health with you and the baby.
Including suicide.
You're joking me. She's like, no, it's what she told me to get a script for. She'll write it for me. I'm like, she's trying to do you harm. Like, I can't.
No, I wouldn't say that. But she's too stupid to know any different.
Okay.
You got to remember.
It was a hard one for me because I almost took it as a direct threat.
No. She's got a big stamp that says stupid. I had a neighbor.
This is a true story.
This is a true story. I had a neighbor, okay? And I couldn't believe it, bless his heart. He came over one. No, this is. We were painting a wall.
He was in a rental house next door.
He's in a rental house next door. We had a wall put up just to get us away from the rental house. We were painting it, and they were throwing trash. It's a long story. But we were painting a wall, and he had a car parked about 30 feet away from the wall. And I asked him for almost 2 weeks, can you please move your car before we paint? Refused. Absolutely refused. So we painted the car.
We painted the wall.
And we painted the car, supposedly, which I don't believe that's
true. Well, it got some overspray from the roller.
It was a spray gun. And so what ended up happening is, you know, he pitches an unbelievable fit, okay? And then the landlord pitches a fit, okay? Yeah. Even though we'd plead with him to move the vehicle. And then they said they had to have the car buffed out, okay? Well, they bring me a bill. They said, you owe us $1,000 for the buffing.
The car wasn't even worth $1,000.
No, the car was worth like $500. And I looked at him. I said, okay. I said, bring me a receipt from the people who buffed it out. Come to find out, he buffed it out in the backyard in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
By himself.
With some turtle shell wax from Walmart.
And then he comes walking over to me to talk to me. And I kid you not, he had stupid and 1-inch block letters tattooed across his forehead.
He was wearing a hat or something.
Took his hat off.
Yeah.
And he always wore a hat. That day I realized it. And I had heard that he had a stupid tattoo on his forehead. And apparently he was in prison. Or he was someplace. I don't know where he was. And he wanted a free tattoo. They said, we'll give you a free tattoo. And they gave him one. Across the forehead. And
he's not joking, guys. I saw it. It was actually embarrassing. The first time in my life, I actually looked at somebody and I was like, I have pity on you. Like, you did something that was so beyond stupid. It's put stupid on your forehead. You got to walk around like this. You want to talk about having zero respect for yourself.
Oh, my gosh.
But anyways, I digress.
Well, you know, okay. But we got to go back to
the stupid doctor story,
okay?
Rabbit hole. Yeah,
well, here's another one. Remember that one movie with Nicolas Cage did? He was actually one of his last good ones, Lord of War.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a whole series of flops now. Him and
Lord of War would have flopped, though. That was loosely based on that true story, that Russian.
Do you remember when they were trying to board his vessel, the Nova or the Kovo?
Yeah, he flips the flag upside down.
Yeah, and he repaints the name.
He repaints the name on the back.
Right? Okay. Kona. Okay.
Yeah,
and so they're hanging off the edge of the ship,
repainting
it real quick before the DEA or whoever else
Interpol.
Comes up. Interpol. And all of a sudden, they come around. It's the wrong ship. Yeah, wrong ship. It's not the right ship.
Wrong flag.
Well, this ship they seize, the incident follows a disputed boarding attempt. Late December, the U.S. Coast Guard tried to intercept the Belo 1 near Venezuela, but the crew refused to allow personnel on board. In the days that followed, the ship changed its identity, and the crew painted a Russian tricolor on the hull.
Oh, my gosh.
So it really kind of did exactly what the... You know, normally when you run around out in the ocean, you don't have to worry about people coming up and seizing your vessel or pirates.
No, the Navy starts flying in with helicopters and warship boats, gunboats. I mean, you got to kind of take that serious.
Well, what they're saying is no slack for you if you're trying to run outside of the petrodollar.
Exactly.
And by January 1, it had been officially renamed the Marina and listed in the Russian Maritime Register of Shipping. RAF planes are understood to have been involved in the U.S. operation, and British airbases were used as a launch pad for the mission to try to board the vessel. You know, again, I'm going to say this. We've got a problem with the United States dollar and the petrodollar and the value of the United States currency, and we're the reserve currency of the world. We have to stabilize it. Okay? And we're going to take over Venezuela. Now, as hard as that is to believe and as horrible as that is, it would actually be something that's more palatable than nothing but lies.
Oh, exactly.
You know, and so, and I mean, yesterday I was getting my teeth cleaned, as I mentioned to you guys earlier. You guys get all my personal business here. And it was interesting because when I was there getting my teeth cleaned, the guy who was cleaning the teeth, a good guy who's going to dental school next, he basically told me that he was from Brazil and that he had a lot of people he knew that in Venezuela, which is next to Brazil, that were basically starving to death without food because that communist country under Maduro could not feed its own population. And that so many of the people that he knows now are so happy that they were basically being given the opportunity to have freedom again and not be under communism any longer. Okay, well, there are a lot of factors like that that we basically are talking about that we need to realize that are very, very real. But when they come up with these lies and these false flags and all the rest of
right.
that stuff, Austin,
he's the head of this drug cartel and he's running fentanyl. It's a giant manufacturing facility.
So this is kind of like a mixed bag of snakes here. I mean, you got some good black spaces of water moccasins.
Well, I told you yesterday, and I mean, there's no question about this because you can already look at some of the numbers going up on the markets. There's going to be an enormous amount of cash that's injected into Venezuela now with contracts, with infrastructure, with all this stuff, which is going to produce an enormous amount of jobs down there. Granted, they're probably still going to try to cheap out a lot of these companies like Exxon and Chevron and all that down there. But at the end of the day, it is going to bring a lot more. And going back to the childhood shot schedule, I saw the number here. It says the new schedule takes a number of vaccines broadly recommended for children from 14 to 8, and it lowers the numbers of doses routinely recommended across childhood from 50 to 22.
That's huge.
That's what I said. I've had some people say, well, this isn't enough yet. You're 100% right. I'm not going to argue with them. This isn't enough yet. A lot of stuff still needs to be addressed. However, we at least at some point now have made a decision to stop the stupidity from going further down the map. Because what we were doing wasn't working. What we were doing was causing direct harm. What we were doing was going to cause exponential growth of autism over the next 10 to 20 years. Insane levels, as we've watched over the last 10 to 20 years. So at least something's been done about this. And I love the topic of the fact now that so many people are now looking at this and going, well, if you drop the numbers of just standard recommended from 50 to 22 and the broadly recommended from 14 to 8, what other ones should we start looking up and, you know, doing some research on now? Maybe as a parent, maybe I should do my own research on this. Just a thought. I've seen that a lot more now. Of course, the FDA says that they are not going to regulate anything when it comes to AI fitness wearables now. They're going to be exempt from all regulation. And a guidance document, the FDA said the tools used to make clinical decisions are sometimes exempt from FDA oversight. They said they will not regulate low-risk products that promote healthy lifestyle like wearable items, which means the Fitbits and all the other stuff that people like to do to monitor their entire health all day long to the point they get anxiety and they're shaken up and their heart rate goes up because they stare at their watch all day to see what their heart rate is at 3:30 in the morning when they had a bad dream. And by the way, it's not just one person I know that's done that. I've talked to multiple people now that have done this.
Oh, that one person I've seen them going on beta blockers.
I know. I've talked to multiple people now.
Almost killed himself.
My heart rate's gone up 8 beats per minute. Oh my gosh, it's gone up 12 beats. Well, yeah, he keeps staring at your watch every 5 seconds. What do you think it's going
to
do?
And then he said to me, he said, first of the year, I'm going in, they're going to stop my heart. And they're going to start it up again. I said, because you had a spike in elevated, beats per minute one time in your life? I mean, maybe you shouldn't have worn the watch.
Here's the problem that most people don't understand. If you want to wear this stuff for something specific, you have a health condition that you're doing when you're exercising, whatever you got to do. But it says right here, Malarkey, leader of the FDA, he said, I'm here to promote AI, his words, during an appearance on Fox News. It's something that simply providing information like ChatGPT or Google, we're allowing AI to utilize all necessary options. What they're going to do now, as I've told everybody, is they're going to use AI, especially these wearables, to monitor and have predictive monitoring and programming for you and everything you're possibly going to do. When they tie in the wearable on your wrist to all your bodily functions. Yeah. And they tie it in to your phone usage, which, by the way, they both talk to each other. They both send signals back. And then remember, on the phone, too, they're watching your pupil dilation while on social media. They're watching your facial expression while they're tracking you on your wearables, while they're listening to you on your microphone, while they're looking at your location where you're at. They are literally going to have billions, and I say that with a B, billions of data points on you after year you continue to do this. They will know every single thing that triggers you, arouses you, likes you, mad, every single aspect of your life. They will have predictive monitoring on it before you even think about doing it. They will already know your behavior and have it monitored through these AI data centers. People don't take this seriously. That's why I say protect your privacy. Put a stinking tape over your selfie camera unless you need it. I don't ever use mine. I don't really need to take selfies. What do I take selfies for? You guys already get to see my handsome face here on the show every single day. You know what I need to take a selfie for? Every time, and they light up on the new phones, the green light shows up. Every time you go on a social media platform, it's recording your face. Every time they tell you they do it. And then your wearables is monitoring your heart rate and all the other monitors that it's got listed on your body. And it's all talking to one another. If you want to give that type of information, and by the way, it doesn't just go to AI data centers. It goes to every third-party buyer that wants your information. The entire data world now is like a $150 billion industry, and they're expected to be $300 to $400 billion industry in the data community by the end of this decade. We're going to be like a $500 trillion market cap just on data gathering.
Yeah, I watched that movie again the other night, Don't Look Up.
Oh, gosh, that's a wild movie.
And I was wrong. I said that, because he was talking to Leonardo DiCaprio, and he actually said it was higher than I thought it was. It was like, we have like 16 million data points on you. We know when you're going to die. We know how you're going to die.
Right.
We know everything about you.
And that was in that film discussing a lot of stuff they were doing. You tie this in now to an open AI platform that monitors all your phones, all your calls, all your location, and throw a wearable in on it 24/7. I mean, like I said, if you're trying to do it because you're monitoring your heart while you're working out, cardiac patient, I got it.
Yesterday I did a little 10-minute little segment that you got to watch on why they do this to you and how they try to make money from you even after you're dead. And the crazy part about it is when you realize that these people think you're a commodity.
Exactly.
We bought and sold and traded. We're not really prison planet Earth. We're slave planet Earth, and they think we're their slaves, and that they can do whatever they want to do with us, whenever they want to do it to us, and however they want to do it to us, including selling all of your personal data,
all of it, repeatedly.
I mean, look at all these all these different companies that were doing the DNA and taking your blood samples and nasal swabs, and they start
23
selling
me.
Oh yeah, start selling all of your personal information to China, no less. And that's specifically being used to develop bioweapons against certain genomes. You say, what do you mean? All right, let's make it simple. You're German. They don't like Germans. They really don't like Germans. And we're going to go ahead and target all Germans. Okay. All right, let's do it. Let's get some data from their genome and find out what they're susceptible to and make sure if we target them that we only kill those particular types of Germans. Well, if you don't like the German thing, do it this way. We don't like Hispanics. Oh, and heaven forbid we don't like blacks. or anybody else that we don't like. Let's kill everybody that we don't like, and let's do the genetics testing on all of these people, and we're going to go ahead and have them pay us to test them.
This article came out on my birthday last year. Bankruptcy court approved the sale to direct-to-consumer genetic testing company 23andMe to a research institute acquired for $305 million. That was sold again to Regeneron Pharmaceuticals for $256 million. Regeneron indicated it submitted a further bid to receive a $10 million breakup fee. The privacy concerns have been directly raised about the sale of 23andMe over the transfer of all personal and genetic data of 23andMe to different companies at any point in time. They bought every single person's genetic data from this company, Regeneron Pharmaceuticals, and they're selling it to anybody that bids on it. This is open. You can pull this up. This isn't conspiracy.
Let's look at it this way. Let's go a little more esoteric. Everybody has a specific frequency according to quantum mechanics that we operate in. And that we're basically in a holographic matrix right now, and let's say your seek frequency would be a 1.00545555511122 all the way to the 40th decimal place. That's you. That's your frequency. That's your radio field that you're in. So you are an energy field inside of a giant radio field, inside of a giant data center, so to speak, kind of a giant holograph. All they've got to do is tune into your frequency with their machines and issue an anti-sine wave, like an anti-wave through it, and it'll cause what's known as cellular lysis. In other words, it just makes you kind of dissipate, and you kind of die. And, Tesla called it a death ray. And they have the ability at this point, when they know your genetic makeup and your genome, to figure out exactly what your frequency is. But the reason they can do it towards an entire group of people is that a certain group of people will have the same genetic frequency as part of their code. And if they target that particular code, they can wipe out large groups of people that they don't want to have around anymore. They really went after Germany from 1933 because the German people had genug. They had enough of dealing with the international banking communities trying to rape everything in the doggone country. They had enough. And so the German people stood in aggregate against it. And you think, well, was that our last chance of getting rid of these clowns? No, probably the way it looks now, honestly, to be honest with you guys. But again, what they do? Well, we've got to get rid of these pesky Germans. And we've got to make sure they don't reproduce. We've got to basically ridicule them and beat them down every single day on TV and tell them how horrible a person and people they are, and they can't reproduce. And sure enough, now they're in a negative population growth, serious negative population growth. And many Germans moved out of Germany because they don't want to deal with the propaganda. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and I said, you were raised in Germany with the school system. I said, did they ever tell you about Operation Valkyrie? That's a movie Tom Cruise did. And after he got the movie, supposedly, he was able to get Scientology into Germany. And what it did, it dealt with a group of Germans who stood against Hitler and tried to assassinate him. It was about the plot to assassinate Hitler called Operation Valkyrie. And she looked at me, she goes, I've never heard of that. And I said, you were born and raised in Germany, and you never, ever, ever heard of plots against Hitler, Operation Valkyrie. Why? Because that showed the people in Germany, not all of them stood for Hitler, and it made them in a positive light, Austin. Yep. Well, they can't have that. They've got to beat them down. They've got that, whatever, that Bernard floating bread loaf. Yeah, Austin, you haven't seen this one yet.
You told me about that in Germany.
No, this is a perpetually distressed and unbelievably, suicidal bread loaf. It floats around in space in a spacesuit, has two little hands on it, and it's staring at this camera, and it's perpetually depressed. This is what they play for the children. Like, there's no hope, there's no future, there's no anything here. This is awful. And this is the Cartoon Network over there, and it's being paid for by the government. And what it does, it programs those children from a very young age to identify with Bernard or whatever his name is, the bread loaf. And everybody's depressed, everybody is sad, everybody's negative. It's awful. And this is, again, a psychological thing they've done to the children of Germany to try to destroy any self-esteem they have and to try to prevent them from ever having a positive outlook as far as what Germany can or would have done. They don't look at what Germany has done in the past and all of the great opera singers and all of the great, music writers and all the rest of the stuff that was done. They got to dwell on one thing. It's not even World War II or World War I. That's become a footnote to the Holocaust. And the Holocaust is a huge industry now, in which they could constantly push a certain narrative. And you have to ask yourself a question. It's like, as like Fuentes said, well, you don't believe that 6 million died? He goes, I don't know. It could have been 6 million. It could have been 10 million. It could have been 20 million. I wasn't there. Russia killed up to 50 million. Who knows? None of us were there. The reality is that, It was horrible, and there's no such thing as any acceptance of anything could happen in the Holocaust or Gaza, Austin.
There you go.
But yet we have Christians that'll say, hey, it's okay that they're going out and wiping out hundreds of thousands of women and civilian and children in Gaza. That's okay. Well, I got a news for it, Flash, where it's not okay. And now Israel's come out. There's an article here out of Israel Haykom. It's basically a pro-Israel newspaper. And it says, Netanyahu's real Republican problem is not Trump. You're going to like this one, Austin. It's not just Donald Trump whom Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu should be most concerned about, but rather James Fishback. You remember you mentioned him the other day. A Republican candidate for the governor of Florida, Netanyahu, the architect of Israel's alliance with the Republican Party, should use his conversation with the president to address the need to curb a trend that ultimately threatens the U.S. support for Israel. It is not Donald Trump whom Netanyahu should be worried about as he arrives in the U.S., but another Floridian whose name he has never heard of. His name is James Fishback, and from a Jewish-Israeli perspective, it would be more accurate to describe him as a Republican version of Zohar Mandini. Only 4 years younger than New York City's elected mayor, Fishback has just entered the fourth decade of his life, much like Mandini, but he is not particularly successful in his career so far. The investment firm, he starts talking about who he is, and starts talking about how he doesn't want our alignment with Israel to continue.
Yep.
And so I'm going to post this article again so you guys can read it. And the first victim he identified along the way was, unsurprisingly, Israel. Last Friday, Fishback posted a pledge to pull all Florida investments out of Israelis' bonds on my first day in office. Over the past 2 years, Florida has spent $385 million to the Israeli government through bond purchases on the open market. That money would have been invested in our communities. So in other words, the state of Florida has invested almost $400 million in Israeli bonds to support Israel.
Florida. Hmm? My Florida, the free state.
Oh, yeah, the free
state. Wow.
Yeah.
So the only issue he's going to have with this is in my opinion, this is my strategy on this. I would have been a little bit more quiet about that play right now. It's too early in the game to throw that card out there. There's a lot of people that probably would have voted for him, but they're so brainwashed from the evangelical Zionists that run the pulpit and call themselves Christians, yet they support mass genocide in other countries, that I think he should have probably kept that one to himself for a little bit later on down the road. That's my opinion.
But that's how he's guarding. See, the reason he's gathering strength on that particular topic is because of Gaza.
Yeah.
Because a lot of Christians have come in and said, you know, wait a minute, what are we doing?
Yeah.
You know, we're supposed to love one another. The Bible says they'll know that you're my disciples because you love one another. And all of a sudden, but we're killing these people in Gaza, killing women and children and bombing hospitals and there's no rule of law there at all.
We're tank firing Catholic churches over there.
And
whoopsie, shelled another one. Whoopsie, shelled another one.
Let's not forget Lavender.
No, yeah. We're not even talking about AI drone program.
Aid workers. And so the problem that you run into is that you don't know really what to say or what to do because you're thinking to yourself, well, I don't want to be involved with this, but I'm a Christian, so I'm supposed to support Israel because my pastor told me so.
Yeah.
And it's, so it causes conflict internally with you.
This is interesting. I'm going to cover this right now. This Bank of America, this article just came out this morning. All the markets are talking about it. That's why silver jumped up last night to 83 an ounce.
Silver's at 83
now. Then recorrected again this morning. Mm. Bank of America put a $309 an ounce forecast out as far as on a BOA. It said January 7th, a seismic shift is brewing. Bank of America just dropped a bombshell forecast this morning projecting silver price to skyrocket between $135 and $309 an ounce. They said the implications are profound. They said the Bank of America's bold prediction of silver potentially reaching $309 an ounce has sent ripples through the market traditionally dominated by equities and cryptocurrencies. And it goes into detail here. It said if it hit $300 an ounce, it would outshine all safe haven assets ever from what it did because of how much it's needed on the market. Now, the only thing about this is, and this market's really gassing up silver, which I agree. I don't expect 309 to come anytime soon. We still got to test 100 and see where it goes. The only issue with this, if silver hits 309 an ounce, that's going to put gold at probably around 15 to 20,000 an ounce, which means the entire market is going to be volatile as all get out. I mean,
well,
yeah, so great on that, but bad on a lot of other stuff.
When gold was 800 an ounce, I remember I told you guys, I said, you know, this is really pretty good investment still at 800 an ounce, but I'm not giving you any investment advice. Then I had a bunch of my friends decided to buy some gold, and now they keep sending me letters saying thanks.
If 309 an ounce, that means a tube, 20-ounce tube of Silver Eagles would be $6,000, correct? Yeah, $309.
You pay $4. You used to be about 80.
I used to pay $300 for a tube. Mm-hmm. So that's wild. But that's Bank of America. putting out this memo today now.
But remember, that's another Rothschild.
That's exactly right. So are they doing it to try to gas up silver to draw more people into it right now so they can take some profits out of it and short it?
People are always asking about cryptocurrencies, you know, Bitcoin. And my response is always this. You can't hold it, you don't own it.
If you want to play with crypto, you got to be okay with playing roulette and going to the casino and stuff like that. You got to be on the same mindset. There is no sustainability with crypto. They predict it's going to go to $250 or $250,000 a coin. So people are going to say it's going to go back to $10,000, $20,000. There's all types of volatility in that market. I know some guys that have made a ton. I know a lot of guys that have lost an enormous amount of money in crypto. It goes both directions. That is a gambling index, in my opinion. People that tell you it's going to go to $250,000 and a coin on it, sure, if someone wants to pump and dump like BlackRock did a while back ago and run it up to 125 a coin and then strip it back down to 80, which they keep doing, I don't know. The thing about it is, like you said, if you don't have power, you can't even utilize crypto. If the internet goes down, you can't even use it.
Oh, by the way, Waltz, the governor of Minnesota, is quitting. He's going to finish his term.
Oh, this whole Somalian boondoggle.
Oh, yeah. Oh, in fact, this is the article out of Daily Mail. The disrespect is unparalleled here. Tampon Tim's final humiliation. I'm going to put tampons in boys' bathrooms.
That's what he wanted to do. Yeah.
No, I think he did it. Waltz is unraveling with excruciating gaffes, shameless excuses, and a horrible VP cameo. As he announced the end of his political career at the Minnesota State Capitol, Tim Waltz paused and appeared he might choke up. Yeah, I bet he did. Shortly after he shuffled off stage, he didn't take questions. His wife, Gwen, seemed close to tears. Perhaps they were thinking of what might have been had Waltz and Kamala Harris triumphed in 2024. Indeed, he wasn't even immediately clear whether the couple would live after Waltz's final day in office as Minnesota's governor next January. Waltz sold his house in July for $300,000, moving to a state-funded home. There was still a $250,000 mortgage at the time. To the end, Waltz says casually was a casualty of the Minnesota welfare scandal with the Somalians that has exploded onto the national stage in recent days, much more than with a bang than he himself did in the 2024 campaign. You know, that whole thing with him and Kamala Harris, you talk about a clown show.
Oh, my gosh.
They put two people together had no chance of beating Donald Trump. And that was done on purpose. And because we see how things are being orchestrated now. But this guy, it's like a comedy act with him. And then Kamala couldn't even complete a sentence. And she's drunk all the time. And I could tell you a story, but I'm not even going to say anything else. I know some other stuff about Kamala Harris. But the thing about it is that, What are we doing here, you know, as far as promoting this? And then he lies, and they list all of his lies here, all the lies he's told over the years, including his military actions, and they hammered him in this article. So you guys can go back to that. In fact, I'll repost it again so you guys can read it, not to look for it. But it's sad to me because, you know, how in the world do we get people like this involved in politics in the United States, and how in the world does he become a governor of a state?
No, that's corruption, bribes, and usury. That's what they do. Also, too, one last story here. It says, you're surrounded by microplastic. Here's habits you can do to reduce exposure. I'm going to tie this into another article we just posted today on the website at Team Health Masters. And it talks about here one of the worst things you can do for massive exposure to plastic is cooking in plastics in the microwave.
They said
the plastic particles literally flake off in the microwave as they heat and as you stir them in your food afterwards. I don't even have a microwave in my house. I get some ugly looks sometimes when people come over. They're going to need a microwave. I said, there's a gas stovetop. What do you mean there's no microwave? There's no microwave. I don't have a microwave in my house. People were so odd by that. And it was ironic. I actually had to get my stove fully hooked up with propane before I could get my CO in my house. Because all you have to have is a microwave to get a CO. The inspector comes in and he goes, you got a microwave? I said, no. He goes, you have a stove hooked up? I said, bingo. And so, again, that's my personal preference. You learn to adapt without having it after a while. But they said that is one of the worst possible things you can do is cook in plastic. And we just had an article that Harrison posted for me today as I asked him to post this. It said, microplastics, the gut, give me camera four, the gut and microbe, what the research is showing and the probiotic strategy that makes sense. The first thing you do is got to cut this stuff out of your diet. Stop using plastics on a regular basis. Stop using soft plastics in general. Don't be cooking in plastic. And then it goes into detail here on how probiotic research suggests about microplastic stress and how different probiotics, especially the stronger probiotics that we have, can really make a difference in supporting the gut and the gut-brain connection, which is so important to have when it comes to health, mental health, gut health, digestive health, and reducing inflammation in the body. As the gut has problems, so does the rest of the body. And it goes into detail the different probiotics we have, the DF, the 100 billion, and the 350 billion on different aspects of them. This is probably one of the best articles he has written on science-based probiotic protocol, and he breaks it down very, very simple. So make sure you read this article if you're curious about gut health, cutting plastics out of your diet, and keeping your body as strong as possible. Y'all have a fantastic day and a fantastic evening. Appreciate y'all. Healthmaster.com if you need anything. Close the show, my friend.
Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for being here for us. Thank you for supporting us with your purchases. And thank you for putting up with our antics sometimes, because sometimes we get kind of carried away. But we love you, and we're still, you know, doing the best we possibly can. And, you know, remember, Jesus is the author. He's the finisher. He's the perfecter of our faith. And through him, we can do all things. Always keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. I love you guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Appreciate y'all.